So thankful that you're tuning in live stream. Thanks, Ed. He gave me a thumbs up. Thanks for the encouragement. So thankful that you're here again. I love you guys, and I'm encouraged to see other individuals to take the time to learn more about God, to have a biblical discussion. This encourages people so much, for people to say, you know what, I could be doing anything else in this world, but I've decided to be here tonight. So just know that you're commended for that small little act of faithfulness. Rallying back. Who remembers playing on a sports team? Maybe you were part of a little league baseball team. Your team was down at the close of the game. You needed a couple runs to catch back up, and most of your players did what? They took their hats, they turned them inside out, and we cheered for a rally. We cheered for a comeback. In my neighborhood, I've shared this with you before, and I'm going to briefly summarize it. I was blessed, and I commend my parents for this, but I was blessed to have a wonderful neighborhood to grow up in. And I can name the guys for you. I remember it like it was yesterday. My neighbors played tennis, basketball, soccer, football, baseball. We played every sport known to man. I mean, my next door neighbor was a college tennis star. His sister was a college basketball standout. Across the street, you had track, you had ping pong, you had tennis, you had basketball, whatever sport. I mean, it's just across the board. Ian Luther down the street, my other good friend, played at University of Evansville, which is a D1 college basketball program. So I had some great athletes growing up around me, and I was known as Captain Comeback. Because when our team was down in whatever sport, I helped bring a team back and we would win. Then I would let everyone know about what I just did. You know, I scored 10 points to help us win the game. So coming back from being down and under has always been something that's exciting in sports. One last story. This one is amazing. I had a friend named Danny Thomas. You can look him up if you want to, if you're interested in that stuff. He ran track and field. He ran the 400 meters. And I joined the track team because some of my friends were on there. I wasn't really good. I think I had my best race at the beginning of the season. But at the end of the season, Danny's running the 4x1600. Each participant runs a 400 meters around the track. Danny was our fourth runner. And Danny got the baton at the starting line. And the person he was running against, who was the other team, Castle Knights in Indiana, that was their team. Their other fourth runner, who's the last leg, was typically the fastest runner on the team. And when he had the baton, that other competitor was on the other side of the field. So he was a fourth, almost halfway done with the track. So when Danny got the baton, there's no way he's coming back. There's no way. It's impossible. Especially with an elite athlete of that individual's caliber on the other team. Look it up if you get a chance. Danny ran a 47-second 400-meter last leg, which is comparable to Olympic athletes in high school. And he did it because he was so motivated to catch that individual. So just being a part of that, it was exciting. It was thrilling because Danny caught him around that last corner. And when people realized, like, he's really going to catch this guy, people in the stands stood up. And you could see people touching each other on the shoulder and pointing like, this is impossible. This can't happen. But it got people excited. It got people on board with what was happening in that present time. It was fun to see. So rallying back and comebacks have always excited people. People want to be participating in it. They want to talk about it. It makes people that they want to get involved in this. Alan's introduction this morning reminded me of my introduction. The introduction is 2020 has been a crazy year, right? I think all of us can agree it's going to affect individuals, it's going to affect church members across the board. Everyone's going to be affected by what we've gone through throughout this year, right? Does the church need a comeback? Does the church need a resurgence? The word resurgence just simply means bringing to life again, arising again, activity, prominence. And is that something that the church needs in our day and age here in our community? Maybe. Maybe we need life of the church brought back during this time. And as we walk through this text, can I get your help? I don't know what's going on with that. We're going to go a cappella for a moment without notes. So, does the church need a resurgence? Do we need to become active once again? Well, perhaps we do. Perhaps we need to become active once again. Thank you so much, Alan. Yeah, turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55. The faith which saves, the faith that we read about in the New Testament, is a biblical faith, and it's very proactive. It's very involved. We would all agree with that, right? It's very active. And the faith which saves, which is very active in the Christian life, it's very proactive, not only means that we are hearers, but we are doers of the word. The Bible tells us that if we were just hearers only and not doers of the word, what then? We deceive ourselves. We're lying to one another. So in order for the word to be productive, in order for it to be fruitful, it must be put into action. And God promises that it will fulfill its purposes. It can produce fruit. It can produce good things in our life and in the life of our community. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah 55 and look at this text. Look what God says about his message. Now, quite often we'll look at the previous verses, that his thoughts are not our thoughts. But when you skip down to the next verse, verse 10, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth a bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." Here's verse 11. This is what I want you to remember. Verse 11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." God's word, when put into action, is very fruitful. It accomplishes the purpose that God has sent out for it. Now, do we believe that? How good is the word if it's just placed on a shelf? If the word becomes inactive, if it's not used appropriately, if it's not put into activities, then it lies dormant and it's useless. So God says, look, when you put this into action, when you become doers, not just hearers only, then good things can happen, not only in your life, but the people who surround you. Good things. Does the church need a resurgence in activity? Do we need to become alive again and put the word back into our lives? Resurgent activity. 2021, Lord willing, if we see next year, let's make a conscious effort to fill this community with God's message. Can we do that? Can we commit that to ourselves? Individuals that we come in contact with, people that we talk with, people that we interact with, and we should be interacting with people, but people that we communicate with, can we set the standard for ourselves that we're going to make sure individuals know what the gospel is, that they know what the New Testament says? And sure, you understand as well as I do, this is not going to be probably the first or second conversation, but it should be a conversation that we have. I want to make sure that you understand what the gospel is before we depart. before we have no more connections with one another. Or if you just say, hey, look, I appreciate what you're trying to do. I've done the Christianity thing, but I'm not interested anymore. Can we at least say, you know what? Maybe people have rejected it. Maybe we're facing generations that are just not going to be Christians, but at least we did our part. At least we got the message out there. What's beautiful, though, about this is we can take that approach where we say, you know what, at least I did my part. But going back to Isaiah 55, God promises us that if we get the message to people, it can produce Christians. In Acts chapter 5, verse 28, I want you to read this text. Acts chapter 5, in verse 28. The first century church. Are individuals who filled their community with the teaching of the Lord. Look at the complaint against them, saying, do we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look what the complaint is. Look what the early church members had done. And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. You know, it's not until you come to Acts chapter 21 that you see the result of what happens when you fill a community with the teaching of the Lord. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 21 now and look at the result. Acts 21 and verse 20. And when they had heard it, they glorified the Lord and they said to him, you see, brother, how myriads of Jews there are who believed. Guess where they're at? They're in Jerusalem. Now, how did them Jews come to a point that they believed? They became Christians. Because earlier, they had filled Jerusalem with the doctrine of the Lord. With the New Testament, with the gospel. Resurgent activity, getting this information into the lives of people we surround ourselves with. Turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians now, and look what Paul says about the Thessalonians in Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and let's look at verse 3. Remember without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and Father. And so, what I mentioned to Alan earlier in his office, I said it's interesting that we come across this text and we can understand what the virtues are, right? We understand what faith, we understand what love is, we understand what hope is, and the previous terms that he uses is work. We understand what work is. We understand what labor is in the text. But then we make this shift and this change when we get to the patient part, right? Work is very active. We would all agree, right? When someone's laboring, it's going to take some energy on the part of someone to be participating in some labor, right? It's going to take some activity on your part. What do you think is going to happen when we come to patience? We just sit back and wait for it. Patience is very active. These Christians in Thessalonica were like the Christians in Jerusalem. They were very active in what they believed in getting the gospel out there. Look what Paul says in verse 8 in the same text. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. They were very active in getting the message out to people in their community. So this is all I want us to do, is to be like the Thessalonians, to be like the first century church in Jerusalem. Let's fill this community with the gospel, with the good news, the message that saves. Now, quite often when we look at the church and we try to find illustrations for how we can improve and we look at the positive and negative examples, typically we'll go back to the Israelites of the Old Testament, right? The Israelites had been rescued from bondage. They had received all the blessings from the Lord. They had all these positive things going for them. And yet we find in the prophets that they're still needing to change. They're still needing to repent. They still need this resurgence because they had been rebellious. They had turned against God. Let's look at one particular passage from Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 7. And I want you to notice what Jeremiah says to the church in their need to change their ways. Jeremiah 7 verses 24 through 26. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts, and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt until this day, I have even sent to you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they did not obey me nor incline ear, but stiffened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore you shall speak all these words to them, and they will not obey you. You shall also call to them, but they will not answer you. What were they in need of? They were in need of being doers of the word. They had become rebellious. They were no longer listening to God. They had completely rejected him. And you see, they stand in contrast to good churches, to individuals who God commends. And that's what we need to be. In order to be different than the Israelites in this section of Scripture, we need a resurgence in our activity. We need to be reading our Bibles. We need to be sharing this information. We need to get it out into the community. Now, we're very familiar as well with Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, where the Lord is speaking to the churches at Asia. And when you go through the text, you can see some of the churches had left their first love. Some of the churches in this text had problems with false teachers. Some of them had a name. Others were just lukewarm. They were useless. And there's just a couple of these churches in this section of Scripture that are commended by God. And when you drive down the road, you're not going to see towns or cities or streets named Thyatira. Why? Because those kind of places or those churches from this century are not being honored by individuals today because they were rebellious. They were inactive. They weren't doing the work of the church. They weren't performing the word and putting it into practice in their own particular lives. But you'll see churches like Philadelphia, or there's a town just south of us. It's called Smyrna. Because we honor places that the Lord commends, that were active in their faith. But churches that weren't, they get condemned. Nobody holds them in honor. So we need to ask ourselves this question here tonight. Are we a church that is putting our faith into practice? Are we active with what we believe in? Are we sharing this with the world? Are we sharing it with the community at hand? Do we need a rallying back? Do we need a resurgence in our congregation here? We need a resurgent outlook. This is just a different viewpoint, a different perspective on how you see church. Tonight, as we gather around and we talk about God's word, are you receptive to the message? Think about that for a moment. Are you listening so that you can better yourself? Or do you hear the message in hopes that I'll finish in 10 minutes? In hopes that you can get out of here and you can get on with your everyday life? Or that you can just say, you know what, it wasn't one of the best sermons I've ever heard or best lessons. Is that why you're here? Are you here to improve? Are you here to encourage? Are you here to worship? Think about that for a moment. What is your outlook when it comes to the church? Are you a grumbler and a complainer? Or are you a person here that has the best intent for this congregation, and you take church serious in a loving fashion, and you want what's best for the congregation and the life and the outlook? You You want people to take it serious, and when you take it serious, that doesn't just mean that you have no emotions tied with it, that you don't talk to anyone, you speak properly, or is it, you know what, I go out of my way to talk to individuals to see how they're doing. I make sure that when we're engaged in Bible class, that the things and the information that we've talked about, that I want to implement that in my life. Does the church need a new outlook with how we do church? Do we need a new outlook when it comes to worship? I've mentioned this to Brother Allen a few times before. If we dug ourselves a hole, are we trying to drive a car that only has three wheels? I like that illustration because it's impossible, right? A car needs four wheels to drive. What's our outlook of the church? Sometimes a church can typically what happens is we have a lot of grumblers and complainers. People who don't do the work are going to complain the most. That's statistically proven. You can look at statistics and see that individuals who are out of work, who aren't engaged in any work at all, they're going to end up griping and complaining. Typically, they'll get on the internet and they'll get on social media outlets, and there are a lot of people that cause issues. This goes across the board. This is what happens in church life too. People in the church who are not engaged in the work become the gripers and complainers. And what happens to a congregation is we start listening to them too much and we start adhering to their demands, and then the church dies out. The church, the life of the church, is literally suffocated because you've given into the demands of the unfaithful. That needs to stop. We can't do that. So where do we start? Well, if you find yourself grumbling and complaining and finding issues and problems with anything to do with the church, stop. You are like the boa constrictor sucking the life out of this congregation. You're constricting the life within it. Stop. Stop griping and complaining. What can you do next? Well, you speak more positively about the church, about what needs to happen, about who we need to be following. When you look at Revelation 2 and 3, what happened with these congregations? They left their first love, they gave in to false teachers, they gave in to the complainers and the unfaithful. Well, what needed to happen? Just like Alan's lesson this morning, you need Jesus in here. Get Jesus back in here. Start doing the work of the church. Become active with the Word. Have a new perspective with how you see the church. You take it seriously. You want what's best for her. You love the church so much that you have the best intentions for her. So when it comes to church life and church activities and church worship, you're truly engaged in it. You truly want what's best. You have a positive outlook on the church. Our last point. Church influence. And this is going to come out of our last particular point. If individuals are not moving forward, we're not progressing, we're not proactive, but we're reactive, and we're not stagnant, and we're not living in the past, and we're not talking about the past and how things used to be, but we have this new positive outlook and we're looking forward, well, this means that we're going to have a resurgent influence, an active influence in the life of a congregation. Now, if you have individuals who are good influences, well, then what's going to happen with other people? Man, they're going to see your influence, and they're going to want to follow what you're doing in your life. They're going to want what you have, and they're going to want to adhere to the things that you're doing. You're going to become the salt of the earth, the light of the world. You're going to taste good. You're going to be someone, a beacon of hope that someone can come to, and they can find the Lord and find the truth with them. But when we're unwilling to spread the good news and we begin to silence this message that saves people, well, then we have a tendency to become a bad influence or a negative one. And again, you're going to have a congregation if you're not a positive influence, if you're not active, if you don't have the right outlook and the right perspective when it comes to the church, and you've begun to give in to those demands and those complaints from unfaithful members, then you're going to have a lot of bad influences. And it's going to affect generations to come. So we need to have a good, positive influence. And the way that we can do that best is by sharing this information. We stand up for the truth, even if we're criticized. We stand up for what's right and what the Lord wants us to do. And congregations, which I have seen in the past, that are affected by these negative influences, just like those who don't have the right outlook, they end up squeezing the life out of a church. We want to be fruitful. We want to be proactive. We want to be doing what the Lord wants us to do. This works. There's nothing wrong with this. The New Testament can produce. And if it doesn't, that doesn't mean something's wrong with the Word. Resurgence. Resurgent influence. Let's be a good influence on others. Let's not be those gripers and complainers. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at this text. And this is just a principle that we see throughout the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 33 through 34. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals. This is the solution to the problem. Look what he says here. Since you have bad influences, those who are negative, those who don't have the best intentions for a congregation, well, what's the solution? Awake to righteousness. Wake up. You're spiritually asleep. Wake to righteousness. Do not sin. And he goes on to say, for some do not have the knowledge of God. And he goes on to say, I speak this to your shame. So just within this text, what's the solution to the problem? Wake up spiritually. Be proactive. Have a different outlook. Don't engage yourself with the sin of the world. Get yourself the information that God wants you to have and start sharing it. Put this into your own life and it fixes all of your problems. It fixes what's the problems within a congregation as well. When you have a collective group who's engaged in resurging a congregation, a lot of good can be done. It's just going to take activity, it's going to take a new outlook, and it's going to take being a positive influence in the life of a congregation. That's a comeback I want to see. That's a comeback I'm willing to stand up for. Isn't that what you want to see? Again, we're closing out 2020. Why don't we start praying about 2021 if the Lord wills that we're here next year? Maybe we've had a lot of damage and a lot of problems and a lot of negative effects in the life of the congregation because of all the things that have taken place this year. We've had a global virus, we've had riots, we've had more division than ever. We have an election coming up. People are divided. People are angry at one another. And we step back and we say, you know what? We're not affected by that. Yes, we are. That is going to have effects on us, whether we like it or not. It's going to have effects on our children. What do we do? Start doing the Word. Start putting it into your life. And if you don't know what that is, start getting the knowledge of God in here. Start studying. And you go, man, but I pick up my Bible, I don't know what it says, I don't know how I read it. Well, you got to start somewhere. Start engaging yourself in these studies. I'll tell you where the apostle started. Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6, and this will be our last text. And even here on my Evernote, I have ads popping up. Why is... I'm not buying anything during worship service, right? Oh, those are the kind of things that we're going to have to crucify, right, and get rid of in our own life. Propaganda while I'm preaching. Galatians chapter 6, where does Paul start? He's closing out this section. He's given the church a lot of encouraging words as he wraps things up. But look at verse 14. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he says next. Very interesting. By whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. What is Paul saying? When it comes to all the worldly things that distract us, that cause us to be negative, that cause us to gripe and complain about the life of the church and not take it so serious, and not be purposeful or be intentional in our walk with Jesus. He says a place to start is to crucify this world to you. Die to its sinful activities and start living towards the activities that save. Our faith is very proactive. We need a major comeback. Tonight, if you need any help, maybe you're here and you're not a Christian, there's a plan for you. God wants you to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Then you continue this faithful life. Let's say that you go, Brother Doug, I know that. I've done that before. Well, where are you at tonight? Has 2020 affected you? Are you negative? Are you complaining about things God doesn't want you to complain about? Are you worried about things that God doesn't want you to worry about? Have you crucified this life to yourself? Are you walking with Jesus? And when you walk with Jesus, there's rest for your souls. There's joy at the end of the journey. Repent. Change the way you're living and come back to Jesus as we stand and we sing.